Chapter 5. Passenger. The trials you are now facing, they are not greater than your will, for there is nothing under heaven you cannot overcome. See the door that lies before you, and know this too shall pass. The Crookshadows, Eye of the Storm. The doctor watched, a little anxiously, as Malcolm Reynolds and the big mercenary called Jane wrestled the TARDIS into place among the cargo in Serenity's hold. It was silly to be worried, because it would take a great deal more than being dropped to damage his ship, but still. He was only grateful the captain hadn't insisted on seeing inside the blue box before loading it. Malcolm Reynolds struck him as a supremely stubborn and mistrusting man, and the doctor didn't fancy going through the it's-bigger-on-the-inside round of explanations with a hostile human. Mal Reynolds looked just like the sort to shoot somebody if he felt it was necessary. Maybe even if it wasn't. The doctor had been shot before. He really, really hadn't enjoyed it. Especially the bit in the morgue with the shroud. And the toe tag. That had not been one of his finer moments. He still wondered, sometimes, how that poor orderly had explained things. Being around other people helped ease the ache, especially with the prospect of adventure before him. Only he kept turning to catch Rose's reaction and delight in her wonder, or ask her thoughts on something or other, and instead found empty space where she ought to be. He missed her terribly. That was good. Pain was good. Someday he might actually believe that. She was still alive, still fighting, just not with him. Box of yours should be secure enough. The captain's voice broke into the doctor's thoughts. Grateful for the distraction, he smiled at the other man's approach. Seems sturdy enough. Thank you, Captain, said the doctor, genuinely grateful. That box is very important to me. Ignoring the odd look Mel gave him, he hurtled on. Now, where did you say we were going?
I didn't.
Mal hooked one hand into his belt, pushing the other back through his hair. We're headed to Paquin. Got a job there.
Oh, right, Paquin, of course, lovely place, said the doctor, who had never heard of Paquin in his life. Of course, any place is better than this, hole.
He waved a hand at the colorful crowds pressing past Serenity. Actually, he found it fascinating. If he just knew where he was, he'd be even happier. Mal snorted. Persephone ain't exactly paradise, but I ain't rightly sure Paquin's much better. It's supposed to have the best sunsets in the verse. But that don't mean much when a carny's trying to cut your throat. The doctor lifted his eyebrows.
Carny? You mean as in carnival?
Yeah, something like that. Mal squinted at a small squad of heavily armed men in dark body armor with bluish-purple highlights as they trotted past. The doctor, glancing down, saw the other man's hand head straight toward the pistol he wore strapped to his thigh. The squad disappeared into the crowd, and Mal relaxed visibly. The doctor beamed.
Oh, I love a carnival. Haven't been to one in, oh, not in years. I always liked those little, what do you call them, with the swirly fried thingies, with the powdered sugar on top.
Mal blinked. You mean funnel cakes?
Yes, funnel cakes. Very nearly as amazing as those edible ball bearings.
Oh, dear. The captain was giving him the, you're absolutely nutters, but I'm going to humor you because I'm a reasonably civilized person look. Perhaps it was time to tone it back a bit. Another reason to miss Rose. She was so good at jabbing him when he got too wound up or too rude or too distracted.
Ah, so when do we leave?
The captain consulted a battered pocket watch he pulled from somewhere inside his coat. Brown, the doctor noted, and made a mental note to find out what was so bloody significant about the color later, soon as he figured out a way to ask without looking like a complete idiot. We'll break Atmo in an hour, said Mal, once I'm sure I ain't going to leave anyone behind.
People will wander off, the doctor said sympathetically.
The other man nodded. Don't seem to matter how often I tell them to stay put. There's only some reason or other they got to be somewhere else.
Human nature. I'm pretty certain it's hardwired into the DNA.
A half-smile creased Mal's face. Maybe. He glanced over his shoulder. Better go make sure Simon ain't plotting revenge for letting his sister wander off, he muttered. To the doctor, he said. Kaylee'll show you to the passenger quarters and give you a tour of the ship.
Thank you. Who's Kaylee?
Mechanic.
You can't miss her. Small, probably covered in engine grease. Big smile. Mal grinned suddenly. She'll probably hug you.
Oh, good. I like hugs.
Mal gave him a baffled, "You're weird" look, but nodded politely and strode away. The doctor cast one last glance around the chaos of the docks, then headed into the ship to look for the cheerful mechanic. He really wanted a hug. Anar smiled as she heard the muttered cursing and stomping outside her shuttle door. Mal, trying to decide whether or not to bother her with the need to talk. He always operated under the idea that she couldn't hear him out there. It was a bit sweet, actually. Annoying, but sweet. She set aside her book and rose from the low sofa, crossing to open the shuttle door. Mal, shuffling around on the walkway outside, froze. He looked slightly startled, as he always did when she answered before he could knock. Anar said nothing, giving him a chance to make up his mind whether or not he wanted to risk a conversation. "Can I talk to you?" he asked, after a brief awkward silence. She stepped aside, gesturing for him to enter. He did so, eyes sweeping briefly over the shuttle as though he expected her to be hiding a client under the bed or behind a curtain. It was an old habit, dating from her first days aboard Serenity. There hadn't ever been anyone hiding then, either. There were fewer hiding places now. After Miranda and the battle, they'd stopped by the training house just long enough to allow Anar to grab a single load of personal possessions, and say goodbye to Shedra, leaving before Alliance authorities came looking for them. It had been haphazard packing at best, just what they could grab on a single load. Compared to its previous luxury, the shuttle looked absolutely Spartan. "Have a seat," said Anara, doing so herself. Mal sat down without protest. Things were easier between them now, compared to before. They could even have the occasional conversation without a fight, like the other night at the table. Anara strongly suspected their newies had everything to do with the fact that she was currently suspended from the guild. She really wasn't certain how she felt about that knowledge, any more than she was certain about her feelings regarding her suspension. The guild had yet to make known to her their terms for reinstatement. Mal studied his hands, clasped loosely between his knees, for a long moment. Then he said, "We're taking on a passenger." Anara felt a small shock of surprise. "That's unexpected, to say the least." Mal had been very vocal about never, ever taking on passengers again.
"I'm surprised you agreed."
"Me too," Mal muttered darkly. "Not sure how that happened, exactly." He sighed and looked up at her. "I was wondering if maybe you'd take a look at him, tell me what you think."
Anara blinked. "Why?"
"'Cause something about him don't set right with me or Zoe, and neither of us can suss out a reason he might be a threat. Me and Zoe, we're good at reading people those present a physical danger. You, Nara, you're good at reading folk, period." From anyone else, she'd call it base flattery. From him.
"Why take him on at all, if he bothers you?"
Mal offered her a wry smile. "Apparently, he's something to do with River and her storm. She insists it's important he come, and I don't much care to argue with a girl who can beat me into a puddle of goo." Anara chuckled softly.
"It's never stopped you before."
"Yeah, well, I'm trying to acquire wisdom in my old age. Is it working?" The smile broadened into a genuine grin, all the more charming for its rarity.
"I'll let you know."
Anara smiled back. They sat like that for several moments, just smiling at each other. It was times like this that Anara treasured, more than all the wealth and society in the universe. Alas, they couldn't last. Eventually, one of them would become uncomfortable and say something foolish. She preferred to head that off whenever possible.
"So, who is this mystery passenger?"
Mal's smile faded, and he let out a snort. "Mysterious is right. Calls himself the Doctor."
"Doctor who?"
"Nothing else, just the Doctor."
Anara had a sudden vision of a small, creepy, little old man, rather like Mal's description of the crime lord Nishka. He probably leered and rubbed his hands together a lot. "He didn't give you any name?"
"Zoe told me he said we could call him John Smith if we absolutely had to." Mal slanted her an ironic look. "But it's pretty obvious he'd rather answer to Doctor."
"He sounds strange."
"Strange don't half cover it. He's made Zoe downright uneasy. Jane don't like him. Not that that's anything new. Simon ain't met him yet. I think he's sulking somewhere. And I haven't asked Kaylee yet. He makes me all sorts of twitchy.
What does River say about him?
River refuses to talk in anything but River speak concerning the man. You can imagine my pleasure.
He grimaced.
Inara smoothed the silk of her dress over her knees.
Well, I'll certainly speak to him. Where is he now?
I left him looking for Kaylee to give him a tour of serenity. She's probably talking his ear off in the engine room, if I know my little Kaylee.
All right.
She hesitated.
What do you want me to say to him?
About what?
About my position.
Ma's mouth tightened.
You're part of the crew, ain't you?
He said, a little harshly.
I really look the part, Mal,
she said quietly, a little sarcastically. His voice darkened, and he took a deep breath and made a visible effort to regain his sense of humor. Fine, you can borrow a pair of my suspenders. The smile didn't reach his eyes, but it was a peace offering. He didn't want to fight about it. She offered him a thin smile of her own, careful not to show how deeply pleased she was at his self-control.
Somehow I don't think it will go with my dress, but thank you for the offer.
She looked away.
I'll tell him I'm the ship's counselor or something.
Ma let out a sharp bark of laughter. You know, Nara, he's just word enough he might buy that.